All right, Brother Purgos is going to bring us, I think it's an interesting topic. What's the title of this one, Brother Purgos?
Growth through affliction.
Interesting.
I was listening to Genesis today, and they were talking about how when the children of Israel were being afflicted in Egypt, they were multiplying. And I noticed in my spiritual life that the more affliction, the more spiritual growth. I was wondering if we could find verses or get insight from other brothers and just a overview of that.
So here's your concept. So more affliction. So let's, first of all, more affliction means more spiritual growth, right? That's your concept?
Mm-hmm.
So let's define what is affliction. So we understand what we're talking about. What would we define affliction as?
Hardship, unpleasantness, trials.
Okay. So not necessarily, could it be physical? I guess it could, right?
I guess it could.
Like Job
had a thorn in his flesh.
Like Job in the boils.
Oh, yeah.
So it could be physical, or it could be spiritual or situational affliction, hardship, trials. Okay, so we figured out what it is now. So we're looking for Bible verses and concepts to back up that affliction causes growth. What say you, brothers?
Got one.
You got one already?
Yep, this is actually one of my it's an interesting verse. Psalm 119, 66 and 67. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, the word afflicted there. The reason I have that verse is because in German it means, it's translated as humility. Before I was humbled, basically. The King James translates it as afflicted, but it does mean like to depress, to humble, to chasten, to afflict. It can mean, it kind of has that connotation.
Right.
So it's kind of, being afflicted, being humbled, being chastened. Would chastening fall under affliction, brother? Because there's tons of verses about whoever the Lord loves, he chastens.
I was just thinking we can look up verses on chastening if you want verses on this. I think that's something that would definitely put us in the right direction. I got one, James 5, like 9, 10, kind of 11. Grudge not one against another, brother, unless you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. And then it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Then it goes into endurance. So the prophets certainly had to endure a lot. And what did it do? Their afflictions grew them in their suffering and their trials for the Lord, right? They were afflicted. They were often on the run. But that grew them, didn't it?
Yeah, amen. I've got another scripture. Hebrews 12. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
Yeah, I'm looking up that word chastened. I think that's a good...
I found a good chunk of verses. We were talking about Job. just a little bit ago. I found a good chunk.
Job 23. Job's a good book.
Yeah. This one, I love these verses. I was reading through this. Verse 8 in Job 23. Behold, he's talking about God. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more necessary than my food. I love that.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Brother Purgos, how about, what say you about your own concept? You must have some scripture verses to share about it.
Peter came to mind.
Yeah.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Amen. Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Peter talks about it. How about 2 Samuel 7? Brother Zealous will appreciate this. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he committeth iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. We can go into Proverbs and read about how you can afflict your child with corporal, physical punishment, and what's that intended to do? Not to cause him harm, but to grow him in character and obedience and, when they're younger, to bend their will. Right, Brother Zealous?
Yeah. I've got a verse here. It's a different word than affliction, but would tribulation be the same as affliction when we go through tribulation?
I think so.
Romans 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us.
Yeah.
So, definitely. Suffering, affliction, tribulation, trials, call it, like, there's a bunch of different words that it could be translated as, but, it definitely grows us. It's meant for our growth, isn't it?
Yeah. It's part of the sanctification and part of the perfecting process, completing and maturing, right?
Yeah, another verse here is like Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So suffering and being and going through, like, basically in the fellowship of his sufferings and afflictions, because he was afflicted for our sakes, it's kind of a fellowship building thing with him and makes us conformable to his death, so we die more. So in that way, it grows us as well.
Amen. Did anybody read 2 Corinthians 12:10? I don't think so. Paul says this, ready? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. How about an infirmity, right? That would be the same thing. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Would that apply?
Yeah. So here's another one. Was Jesus growed? Well, I just read it. You can read. You can judge this. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So it says that the Lord was completed, made perfect, consummated, complete. He finished it. And was made perfect through sufferings.
Yeah.
Or afflictions.
Yeah. And let's talk about Brother Purgos. You've endured a lot in the last year. How has that grown you? What has it done for you in the Lord? What would you say? If you never suffered those, would you be the same person you are now?
No, I would still be just doing things. It really helps build your faith when you see that you can, with the help of loving brethren and rebukes and chastening as needed.
Yeah.
It definitely shows you that your faith can endure, and that is a source of hope, and it continually burns away dross. It's like, oh, I thought I was good here. No, you just mask this with that, and then all of a sudden the word comes and it cuts more and more and more away.
Yeah. I like what you just said. No, keep going. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Oh. And as long as you keep on going and you keep on trying, he who began a good work in you will finish it until completion.
Amen.
I think that's Philippians chapter 1.
Yep. Yeah. When you were speaking, I was thinking about dross and the gold and the silver you burn and the junk comes to the top. And a lot of times God is doing something in us and we have something in us. But guess what? We can't see it because of what?
Blindness, spiritual immaturity, being stiff-necked.
Could be our stubbornness, could be sin, our stubbornness, our rebellion, all that. And our afflictions and everything, God uses all those and he burns all of that off, doesn't he? And then what's left when we all came to the Lord with all kinds of afflictions and trials and issues and, you know, sin and all types of things we had to work through. And when God in his word and his spirit burns all that off, what's left? The good stuff he's put in us. Right? The love, the truth, the work of the Holy Spirit, confidence, boldness. We got to burn all that garbage away. It's kind of like if your car went through a mud puddle that was so bad and all of a sudden you go, where's my car? And it's covered. Or sometimes you walk out in a snowstorm. What is that pile of snow? Hey, that's my car. And you got to work it all off through affliction and trial and you get that off and then you go, ah, there's my car. And God uses all those things to sharpen us and enhance us. And after we've overcome the trials, are we not stronger afterwards than we were to begin with?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but we're commanded, it's difficult when you're in there, but we're commanded to rejoice because of those trials.
Yeah. Amen.
I found another portion in Job. I love the book of Job for like affliction, for trials, all of that stuff. It's such a good book. Here's another section, Job 34.
By the way, if you're ever having a bad day and you think you got it rough, go read the book of Job and it'll change your whole outlook.
Oh yeah. Job 34:28. I'll start at 28 here. So that they cause the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he heareth the cry of the afflicted. When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only. That the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, Job was quite an example to us, wasn't he?
Yeah, and here's one. Brother Pergos, you memorized this once. Let's see if you still know it. Acts 14:22.
Conforming and exhorting the disciples that through many trials and tribulations you must enter the kingdom of heaven.
That's a good paraphrase of it. Yep. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, basically kind of sums up. Does it grow us? Yep.
And Jesus said, in this life, you will have much tribulation. Not your best life now, by the way. Much tribulation. Why? Because 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's another thing. We talked about worldly Christians, Christians that claim to be of Christ, but they're of the world. They don't suffer any tribulation for Christ. They live just like the world. Short of going to church on Sunday, no one persecutes them for anything. How do you get persecuted for putting up bounce houses and barbecue and balloon shows? You don't get persecuted for that. And buying everybody beer. Buying everybody beer. Hey, let's talk theology. I'll buy you a beer. Oh, you're going to get persecuted. Yeah, right.
Yeah, here's another one. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
Yeah.
He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.
Yeah.
That's affliction. The cross is afflicting.
Yeah, amen.
It ain't easy in the flesh.
Yeah. Yeah, the cause of Christ is an affliction in this world, because they're diametrically opposed.
There is a verse in Peter. I'm going to try and look it up. Maybe you guys know where it is. He that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Yeah. 1 Peter 4, 1. He that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So, yeah. It's kind of when your flesh is suffering and you're killing it and it don't like it, it's not, it helps overcome it.
Yeah.
It helps put it in its proper perspective that this is all fleeting anyways.
Yeah, verse 2 of that same chapter, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh and the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That's what all of these things teach us. Ready? We didn't cover this, I don't think, did we? Maybe. Brother Purgos, do afflictions and trials and challenges and tribulations, do they help you kill the flesh?
If you want to stay in the game, you have to kill the flesh because you have to get through them.
Yeah. So they're also like we talked about the burning process. They're also a help to us to actually help us kill our flesh. And the more flesh you kill, then the less worldly tribulations you're going to have. You're always going to have the tribulation of people that hate you and all that. But I should say, the more flesh we kill, the less inner tribulation we're going to have. Because we bring a lot of our own tribulation on, don't we?
Yeah.
Not controlling our thoughts, looking backwards, taking things personal, not discerning rightly, doing things we ought not to do, looking where we ought not to look, thinking, all of that. So we bring probably most of our affliction on ourselves. And if we kill our flesh more, we'll bring less of that on us. And that's a perfecting of us, a sanctification process, killing more flesh.
That could actually be a full topic in itself.
Yeah.
How much so-called persecution that so-called Christians get is actually self-inflicted and sought for, and it's not because of Christ. It's because of politics or the flesh or their culture or something, but not for Christ.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, we can't...
That kind of suffering is like self-inflicted. It's not of God. That ain't going to grow you.
Yeah, we can't...
You need to repent of doing things you should.
We can't rejoice if we get persecution because we've been a jerk. If somebody punches you in the mouth because you were a jerk, that's not persecution because of Christ. That's because I was a jerk.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the passage in 1 Peter 4 that goes... really well with that?
I think he just read verse one.
There's two sections I read in there. Yeah. Which one are you talking about?
If any man suffers a Christian.
Read it.
So this is, I'll start at verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be ashamed. Yeah. I love that. They suffered and they rejoiced. Let that be us. Let us be us. Let us live for the Lord, preach the Lord, and let us be ready to suffer whatever affliction, tribulation, persecution we have to for his name. And that will grow us, because that kills our flesh. It's ready. It's, hey, think about this. You live in this world. So do I. But as you get older, the more you live, you realize you're leaving this world. Your body's dying. You're leaving this world. When you're young, it's hard to fathom that. Oh, I'm here. I'm young. It's like as you get older, you realize I'm leaving this world. And our Christian walk is like that. When you come to Christ, you've kind of left the world and you left it behind when you truly come to Christ. And then as you're walking with Christ and you're out of the world, then as you're killing more of your flesh and you're getting persecuted, you are literally like almost daily leaving more of the world behind. It's like, you know, like I keep saying, like it's in the rearview mirror and it keeps getting further and further away. And that's what happens to you. That's, again, that completing, that sanctification process where you're becoming more like God, your desires are more for God's kingdom and God's ways, and the world less and less and less and less. It's a beautiful process. And the more we can encourage in that in each other, the further along we'll be. A lot of people, you know, they don't want that process to take place. Why? Because they kind of love their sin. They kind of like themselves. They kind of like where they are. And then they talk about, I'm just on a journey. Usually when people say I'm on a journey, that means I kind of like my sin and I haven't left it yet. So I'm still journeying through that. That's really what it means. I haven't decided to give all in to Jesus yet. So I'm just on a journey. You've decided on your journey to give all into Jesus right now. I haven't decided on that journey. I'm like, you know, you went on a straight line. I'm like taking the scenic route all around through the world in my flesh. And so, yeah, that's what we have to be careful of. So I encourage people, take the straight journey through tribulation, trial, persecution, and it'll perfect you. And one of the best things I tell people, and you all you men have done this, and the sisters I know are doing it too. Go into ministry right away. And when I mean that, I don't mean, you know, you have to become a teacher and all that kind of stuff. But start proclaiming the gospel. Start telling people the gospel. Start giving out gospel cards. Start talking to people. Start giving people your testimony. When you start doing ministry, it causes affliction, trials, persecution. That if you just sit back and, hey, I'm kind of liking this Jesus thing. Where do you do? I just sit in my basement and read my Bible. This is a good life. I like it. There's not much persecution in that. When you go forth to do what the Lord's told you to do, to be light and salt, and then it grows you. Because now, I know you're all seeing it. It's like, I'm in this game. This is the Bible coming to life. These people are all blind. They hate me. They want to punch me. For what reason? Jesus. There's evil works out here. Wait a minute. Our battles against principalities and powers. The whole thing comes to life, doesn't it? When you start doing it.
Yeah, I can back up what you're saying with scripture. So first of all, John the Baptist living a holy life in the wilderness, nobody had a problem with him. He lost his head when he reproved sin. And yeah. Second, they didn't tell the disciples to stop. Correct me if I'm wrong. In Acts, their biggest problem with the disciples was they should stop preaching in this name.
Yeah. Yeah.
just be quiet. Go home. Do your thing. Leave us alone. Stop talking about this.
Yep. Quit preaching Jesus Christ. That. Yeah. Yeah, they beat him and they said, stop preaching Jesus Christ. And I love that. They said, hey, those guys that you said to stop, they're out there again doing it. And they're like, those are those fishermen. What happened to those guys? They were bumbling idiots before. What happened to them now? And yeah, that's like when we go forth to preach Christ and they say, get out of here. It's just like that. We don't want to hear it. Yeah, how many people go by you like this, brothers, when you're preaching? You see this a lot? And I always tell people, hey, you don't have to hear me now, but you will hear God one day. I promise you, put your fingers in your ear, you will hear God one day. And you can't. Well, you will not be able to not hear it.
Yeah, that passage, actually, I love it too, because it's like, where are the men? They're not in prison. Where are they? Oh, they're in the temple.
They're in the temple. Preach it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're preaching again. So yeah, it's a great way to help that sanctification process and this affliction to growth is to go forth and do what the Lord told you. Tell people your testimony. Start witnessing the gospel wherever you can. Start sharing it, and it grows you. Ready? cutting off family. Cutting off the old life, family, friends. If you don't do that, you don't suffer the persecution, the trials, the tribulation, the affliction, and your flesh just kind of goes along with it. You cut it off, you got to face it, you got to deal with it, you see the difference, it grows you. And I know, because you guys, you brothers have all gone through that.
Yeah, and like suffering affliction, like when you preach like the biblical gospel and you give someone a gospel card with the biblical gospel, I mean, people don't like that sometimes. They'll tear it up, they'll toss it in pieces.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you give out pamphlets like the one brother Kua sent a picture of yesterday. Hardly anyone's going to have a problem with things like that.
You mean like, the dog preaching the gospel?
Yeah, the dog preaching the gospel.
Yeah, I don't know what you can even say about something like that. Yeah, yeah. Turn it.
And it's a false gospel, too.
Yeah,
so
go out in the streets. Do Ray Comfort. Go out in the streets and turn it into a game show and a trivia show, and then you please everybody, you know. Yeah, yeah, preaching the gospel, it changes everything. Living it and then preaching it changes everything. You got to live it before you can preach it. And I think that's why, going back to like people that have tried to come to the fellowship, I think they understand that. People see like how we live our lives. They see what the Bible calls for. We're not special. We're just doing what the Bible calls for. We haven't made this stuff up. It's what the scriptures call for. And we're trying to live it out, and people see, oh, that's a lot. That's hard. You mean I got to give up my hobbies, my family, my sin, the world, and all that other stuff? Yeah. This is what the Bible calls you to do. And they're like, oh, that's really hard. You mean you got to edify you every day? What? Yeah. Wait, I got to be accountable to other people? I can't do whatever I want? Yeah. That's hard stuff. And that affliction that they look at and go, oh, that would be hard, that's exactly what they need to grow them. Have you thought about that? So like if yeah. Any of you would have turned away from biblical fellowship and accountability, it's exactly what you need. And if you let your flesh take it away from you and you go the other direction, you're feeding your flesh with what will destroy you, and you're turning from the spiritual things that which you need. And that's what people do all the time. I want to find a church that I like that says what I want to hear. Itchy ears. Instead of, oh, that group over there, they preach a hard gospel and they really hold your feet to the fire and they preach holiness and righteousness. I don't like that too much. So
yeah,
do those things that we must do, and it'll cause you to grow.
The rich young ruler. The one thing he lacked.
Yeah, he couldn't do it.
Come on, it's the one thing.
Yeah.
The one thing he lacked. And the same way all of us, like, don't shy away from that one thing we lack, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and we talked about the Ephesians 6 armor. It's made mostly for the front, so you press into afflictions and trials and tribulation and persecution. Don't turn sideways or backwards. Don't retreat. Press into it forward-facing. Same thing with Satan. Resist him, and he'll flee. And that's how we overcome all these things.
Amen.
So, any other thoughts about, like, well, we talked about, I guess, that's another whole topic. I was going to say, like, people in the Bible, but you talked about in Genesis. We talked about Job. We talked about, I was thinking of other people that we could use as an example. How about David? David wrestling, what, bears and lions? Those are trials. Do you think that prepared him for Goliath? What if he would have ran away from the bears? Was it bears and lions, I think, right? What if he would have ran away from those animals and not taken them on? When Goliath comes along, what do you think he would have said to Goliath? He would have ran away from him, too. He would have ran away from him, too. So look at how those experiences, trials, and tribulations grew him.
And if you want to talk about whether or not the holy men of God had afflictions and trials and tribulations, let's read Hebrews 11 again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Destitute, afflicted, tormented, wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins and caves of the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so all of those things...
Here's another thing that grows on us. When you're afflicted and persecuted in this world, doesn't it drive home the point, you're not of here, you got another city, you don't want this.
Right.
You're not of here.
Yeah. You're an alien. Yeah, you don't fit in.
This is awesome. This just went full circle in my head. It went back to what we started out with. The gospel that doesn't call you out of the word.
Yeah. Yeah, so our first topic tonight was the big difference between us saints that are following Christ and have come out of the world and all these people we meet that are claiming churchianity and they are still in the world. And that's exactly what afflictions do and persecutions. It causes you to make a decision. Am I of the world or am I of Christ? And when you're of Christ, you know you're going to suffer all this stuff. And it grows you right out of it.
Yeah.
Grows you right out
of it. The more you follow Christ, the more unpalatable the world becomes, the less you want it, and the more you seek the world that you'll fit into.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, you seek to be with other saints. It's kind of like when you get a sliver. You ever had a sliver that you didn't pull out and you didn't know about it? What happens to it? Gets infected.
It kind of, yeah.
And what is your body doing? It's working to push it out. It gets pus and everything around it, and that's what it does. It gets around it, and it's working to pop that invader out. Well, that's kind of like how we are. We're of the world before Christ, and now we have to basically pop ourselves out of the world. And all of these afflictions, along with the Holy Spirit and the Word, keep showing us we're not of the world. We don't fit in. The world doesn't want us. The world doesn't like us. The world doesn't love us. The world hates us. And we're going, wait a minute, I don't fit in there anymore. And like Brother Purgo said, hey, I know who I do fit in with. The saints of God. I fit in with them. Maybe that's where I belong. This next life to come. Maybe, here's an idea. Let's sacrifice everything here, brothers, for the next life to come. How about that? Is that a good idea? It's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's an awesome thing.
Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen. Hold each other's arms up. Yeah, encourage each other. Absolutely. Good topic, Brother Purgos. Any other thoughts on affliction causing growth?
I don't. Not now.
No, I think we covered it well.
I'm good.
All right. I'm just going to say this. I'm really disappointed in you, brothers. Can I say that?
If it'll grow me, definitely.
What is the one example we could have used?
Christ.
Well, Christ is always preeminent in everything. But I was thinking about us, what happened with us, our affliction. Look what happened to our body and the affliction and the trial and the tribulation we had. And look at how it grew us.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Not so much Brother Kuo, but you two brothers who I was united to before, and all that happened, all the trial and all that stuff, and look at what's happened, and look at how we've all grown after that. And I think when we all got back together, I said, God put it in my spirit that he was going to do something better than he did before, and it was going to be awesome. And has that not happened?
Yeah, we've definitely grown a lot through it all.
Through it all, we all grew. And we are where we are today because of the grace of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, but those afflictions that we went through together. And I think we'll take everything on differently in the future, in the body, treating each other differently because of that.
Well, hey, if you want to go into our testimonies of all the afflictions we faced and how it grew us, it could be a really, really long audio.
That's another whole audio. No, I was being facetious. I'm not disappointing you, but I thought I could have been disappointed myself. Right at the last few seconds, all of a sudden my head went ding. Nobody brought up what happened with our body and how it grew us. And I'm like, I got to bring this one up. And yeah, because that was like, it really grew us as people of God. And then I think it's grown us together to really value each other and unity and the love of the brother. And so it all worked to be a beautiful thing. God took our mess and he made something beautiful out of it. We couldn't do that. He did it.
Yeah. And like, hey, yeah. I can personally testify to the truth of Scripture and all of this because, like, when I think back of my journey, this is the real journey, following Christ.
Yeah, amen.
not the spiritual journey. There was a lot of things that were really, really hard that I look back on now, and it was basically God, like, literally scooping the dross off my life with a cup. Like, it was burning off.
And it's messy.
You have to take like a literal cup and just scoop it off.
It's a messy process, right? It's messy. But it needs to be done, right?
It did good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen all of you grow so much in just a short time. It's awesome. It's awesome. God gets all the glory.
Amen.
And just think, just look back the short time you have, just think what God's going to do in the future if you keep enduring and you keep looking to Him. He's going to just grow you exponentially and grow the body unity, and it's a beautiful thing. It brings Him great glory. Good job, brothers.
Amen.
Awesome topic. Thank you, Brother Purgos.
Amen.